On the first morning that we came to the river, only the northern shore, which was East Anglian territory, was visible. But by midday the southern bank, which used to be the kingdom of Kent and was now a part of Wessex, was a dim line on the horizon. By evening the banks were a half mile apart, but there was little to see, for the river flowed through flat, dull marshland. We used the tide when we could, blistered our hands on the oars when we could not, and so pulled upstream, until for the very first time, I came to Lundain. I thought Jófurik was a city, but Jófurik was a village compared to Lundain. It was a vast place, thick with smoke from cooking fires, and built where Mercia, East Anglia and Wessex met. Burghred of Mercia was Lundain's lord, so it was Danish land now, and no one opposed us as we came to the astonishing bridge that stretched so far across the wide Thames. Lundain. I came to love that place. Not as I love Bebbanburg, but there was a life to Lundain that I found nowhere else, because the city was like nowhere else. Alfred once told me that every wickedness under the sun was practiced there, and I'm glad to say he was right. He prayed for the place. I revelled in it, and I can still remember gawking at the city's two hills as Ragnar's ship ghosted against the current to come close to the bridge. It was a grey day, and a spiteful rain was pitting the river, yet to me the city seemed to glow with sorcerous light. It was really two cities built on two hills. The first to the east was the old city that the Romans had made, and it was there that the bridge began its span across the wide river and over the marshes on the southern bank. That first city was a place of stone buildings and had a stone wall, a real wall, not earth and wood, but masonry, high and wide, skirted by a ditch. The ditch had filled with rubbish, and the wall was broken in places, and it had been patched with timber. But so had the city itself, where huge Roman buildings were buttressed by thatched wooden shacks in which a few Mercians lived, though most were reluctant to make their homes in the old city. One of their kings had built himself a palace within the stone wall, and a great church, its lower half of masonry and upper parts of wood, had been made atop the hill. But most of the folk, as if fearing the Roman ghosts, lived outside the walls, in a new city of wood and thatch that stretched out to the west. The old city once had wharves and quays, but they had long rotted so that the waterfront east of the bridge was a treacherous place of rotted pilings and broken piers that stabbed the river like shattered teeth. The new city, like the old, was on the river's northern bank, but was built on a low hill to the west, a half mile upstream from the old, and had a shingle beach sloping up to the houses that ran along the riverside road. I have never seen a beach so foul, so stinking of carcasses and shit, so covered in rubbish, so stark with the slimy ribs of abandoned ships and loud with squalling gulls. But that was where our boats had to go, and that meant we first had to negotiate the bridge.